Different keys on different computers. F8.
It's like Cindy would just.
Hello, Jim. Hey, you're going to light up.
You're in focus.
I'm going to hold up for just a couple of minutes to make it so straight in here. It's not like it's not the start on time.
I'm going to have to start on time.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Frozen.
Grunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present?
Okay. First item today is the consent agenda. Today we just have the minutes from the regular June 12th meeting. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items and any member of the commission, staff, or public may ask for an item to be removed and discussed under new business. To receive full discussion, such request will be automatically respected. Basically, you need a motion to either approve the consent agenda, which is previous minutes. Any discussion? Yes.
Mr. Mayor. On the Salt Park Street reconstruction project, under board deliberation notes, I'm sure it was an oversight. the comments noted were from Commissioner Wiedenhammer and yourself, representing your side of the vote, but there was no commentary or reference to the commissioners that voted the other way. To explain, it just says other discussion on angle or parallel parking. Mm-hmm. Kind of gives like a one-sided appearance there to explain why they voted. I'm sure it was an oversight.
Okay. Well, there is the option to pull this, or we can just consider ourselves and publicly address the oversight, whichever you choose.
I'd like it as a written record.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's
to more reflect the other commissioners.
Okay.
It was kind of a highly debated topic.
I can go back and redo that section of it.
Okay.
Okay. So at this time, we will how would you say that? We will table that for the next meeting, this item. Okay. To make a motion, we table it to the next meeting.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Reports of officers, boards, and standing. Well, wait a minute. Let's back up here. Correspondence. Anybody have additional correspondence? I had one unsigned one that I turned over to Barb Brooks, our marine manager. Okay, no one else? City manager, let's see. Thank you, Tom. Getting ahead of myself again. Can't read. do we have anybody present that has comments on non-agenda items and would like to address the commission? Ron.
Aaron Crozier, 1121 Crozier Crest, concerning the Point City Veterans Memorial. I'm a dog lover myself, but we have a dog issue. Just this last week, I picked up some dog poop around the memorial, and you know, people aren't cleaning up after themselves. I know that we've got signs, but I don't see where they're being enforced. You know, there's more dogs sometimes on the farmer's market than there are people. And the sign says festivities going on, there's no dogs allowed. And I think it needs to be addressed. I know it's been brought up before, but nothing's ever been done. And I'd like to see something be done about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Do we have anyone else that would like to address the commission? Mark.
Mark Kowalski. I know, and my where Coldwell Banker is there, you know, we don't get everybody coming down there, but I notice there's a lot of people with motorcycles and things that take off from the stop street, and there are trucks, guys that pick up trucks and so forth that like to kind of show off during stroll the streets. And I didn't know if any of the officers were, you know, walking down there, just kind of being present, to maybe keep some of that down. I'm a little concerned about the safety, especially that intersection crossing over on East Street there. So just, you know, something to think about. I'm concerned about that because, you know, you got guys that are pulled hole shots right there. We're right in the middle of stroll the streets, and people are all over the place. So I just didn't know if, we've got anybody on the beat there that maybe just walking around being visible might help.
Thank you, Mark.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
To that? When do our bike patrol starts?
Bike patrol is ongoing currently. Yeah, they were out last Friday during the stroll of the streets. I believe they were out again last night as well, too, so that it is an ongoing.
All right, so maybe they can probably cover
some of
that. Yeah,
they're all over various parts of town.
Right, but maybe focus on that a little bit?
Well, yes.
Possibly.
Okay. Is there anyone else in attendance that would like to address the commission on a non-agenda item? City manager's report.
A couple items to give the commission an update on. The first one was with regards to our street repairs, starting from a water valve leak that we had over here on North Blake Street by the State Street intersection. The commission is, may have noticed that we've been through there a couple times, so I thought I'd better give people a reason why. On June 14th, we had, basically it came up over there having the flag day ceremonies over there at the Veterans Memorial. The bolts on one of the water main valves rusted out, separated, and all of a sudden a lot of water was gushing up through the road there. Our crews were called out and dug the hole, got to the valve, and replaced that, those rusted out bolts, with stainless steel bolts. So it fixed the immediate leak. That was repair number one. As they were doing repair number one, they were going around and controlling and operating valves to isolate the problem. We found that one of the other valves at that location, there's three altogether, wasn't working properly. It wasn't something that they could fix at the time of the initial repair. They had to get parts and things for it. So rather than leave that in a non-functioning condition, we had to go in back a second time and dig it up again to fix that second one. So now we got all three valves working. But through all the activities that were going on there, from the original water going in there and the rainstorms that came down during the second repair, the ground got pretty dang saturated. And we gave it an opportunity to try and dry out, draw the moisture up with all the rains and the water from that. The soils were pretty saturated, so that necessitated repair number three, which was digging out a bunch of those soaked soils, getting some firmer soils in there so we could actually open that northbound lane back up to traffic rather than having people try and meander around and use the center turn lane as a way to get north in town. So that was repair number three. We're now working on repair number four, which is getting our paving company in to patch the bad spot of the road, and we anticipate that they hopefully have that done within the next week or so. So we normally don't like to have to go out to a place four times. We prefer not to have to go out there even the one time, but obviously breaks happen. But I just thought, in case people wondered, why does the city keep playing or digging in that hole, you can understand the rationale and why we want to do it. The end result is, we wanted to get that road opened up in a safe way as quickly as possible. And two, we want to make sure all the repairs were done that needed to be done there, so that the next time something happens, we have operable valves in that location and around town.
Question.
Sure.
Actually, a question for Andy. I know we've got some other cuts and that need to be done in the city, but do you have the one on Court Street there in front of the Summertree home?
Yes, I
do.
Yep. Okay. That's hopefully scheduled to be done at the same time.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I had on that one, unless somebody had something further on it.
I'm sorry, I might have looked. What was the fourth repair? What are you working on right now?
The actual final patch on the road where we replaced the blacktop.
Okay.
Last Friday, interviews were conducted with five of our applicants to be our new police chief. Each individual, when they came on, had the opportunity and took advantage of it to go on an individual tour with our interim police chief, Craig. Then they sat down for a panel interview. The panel consisted of four members, plus myself. The four members were Joe Duff, who's the city manager over in the city of Gaylord, Fred Guder, who's the retired city manager from Harbor Springs, Michael Warren, who is the police chief with the city of Traverse City, and David Harvey, who's the executive director for the state of Michigan's MCOLS program, which certifies all police officers. As we went through the interviews, we had a series of questions that we asked, quite a few questions. Each of the interviews lasted at least an hour. I pretty much stayed out of the questions unless I had a follow-up question. I let the other panel members ask them, but just kind of did my role in observing so I could focus on the reactions and the responses of the applicants as well. All the interviews, I believe, went very well. I think we've got some good candidates to work from. At this point, we're into the next step, which is checking background, doing background checks on the applicants to determine if there's something further we need to know or check into before we enter into any direct discussions with any of the candidates. If all goes well, I hope to be able to bring a candidate forward to the City Commission for a final confirmation, either at or before our July 10th meeting. I'll keep you folks posted on that as that process works forward. So, as you may have noticed, as you came here for the meeting today, with the activity in Veterans Park, the circus has indeed come to town and will be here today for two shows this evening. They'll be gone early tomorrow morning in time for the normal Wednesday farmers market operations. The city's new website is set to go live tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I've got to give a lot of credit to Barb Brooks and some of the other members of our staff who have been working very hard over the last several months to make this transition possible. We encourage everybody to check it out and let us know what you think. On your way there, you may notice some changes to the City of Boynton City splash page. And this is one of the things I want to put up on the computer, but with our technical difficulties, I'll do the old trick of spinning the screen. If you go to www.boyncity.com, this is what you'll see. It's called a splash page, which basically is, it takes you to this site, and then you're basically given two options, either go to the city site or the Chamber of Commerce site with regards to that. We've been working real hard to try and give people a one-stop experience when they're dealing with the City of Boynton City, and a new splash page has been created, and this is it, which should be showing up in the next couple days, which basically provides two additional links that we don't have there currently. One for the Boynton City Schools, which a lot of people have been thinking about locating or wanting to know what's going on in the community, want to check that site, and our Main Street program, which has created its own website in the last year. So this new splash page should be up in the next couple days. It has to go through a couple operations that we aren't in control of, so I can't give you a more exact time on that, but hopefully by the end of the week that should be up as well too, and we're hopefully going to get some feedback on that and let people know what, or hear from people as to what they think about that. The Vogel Street Sidewalk Extension Project that's being done in conjunction with the new Brook development is moving forward. Sidewalk sections on Vogel Street are currently being formed up with new concrete to be poured shortly thereafter. This project, as I think I might have mentioned before, will stop short at this point of Hannah Street. It'll be working its way towards Hannah Street, but we're stopping short for now so we can make sure we line it up properly with the grades and the back and forth with the new sidewalks that'll be coming in as part of the Hannah Street reconstruction project we'll be doing later this summer. The actual sidewalk connections that will be made at that time as part of the project.
Hannah Street's going to have a sidewalk on both the east and west side?
No, only on the west side. Just on the west side. On the plans that we, I think we brought forward at the last meeting, we showed that it was just on the one side. And again, that ties back to a long-term city commission goal, which is to extend the pedestrian circulation system through the city. Wherever possible, we try and put, funding and space requirements available. We try and put it on both sides. On Hannah Street, we're going to an existing situation, specifically there. A lot of the houses were built much closer than current standards would allow to the road, and there we had some difficulties with regards to sidewalk placement, and that's why we're having it on the one side. And as we talked, putting a couple curves in it to deal with some unique circumstances in some individual properties. So just the one side. A reminder that the Soho Arts Festival will be held this weekend, coming back, bigger and better than ever, at the intersection or around the intersection of Main and South Lake Streets. There will be some road closures over the weekend as part of this event. If you've been out at the north end of town recently, or north end of the water and East Street intersection lately, you may have noticed that the white road and crosswalk markings normally maintained by the state have not been repainted when they did their earlier center line work. Apparently the state has either cut funds for this work or did not budget enough. We've been in discussions with people from the local road commission and MDOT to find out why this isn't being done, because we consider it to be important, but that's what they've told us. Either way, I don't think it's a good situation, and I'm going to be talking to the appropriate officials with regards to it to let them know our displeasure and that this is something we think that they should follow up on. It seems a little ironic to me. For the last few years, the state's been completing their touting program that they call Complete Streets. Looking at this, I hope this isn't the start of a new program by the state called Incomplete Streets. I'm not too happy with that. The drinking fountain at the top of Avalanche Mountain has been returned to service after some upgrades and repairs to the plumbing system that we hope will make it more reliable. Ever since this has been installed, we've had problems with keeping it running because it's the highest point that we serve water anywhere in the city. And the system wasn't originally designed for that. It was kind of put together, and we found a lot of issues with it after we did it. It sounded like a great idea at the time. Anyway, we've made some changes that we hope that'll make it more reliable. If not, the fountain may end up being relocated to the base of the hill where we actually have good water pressure. The state police gem car from Petoskey has returned to the city. You've seen it around town the last few years. And we hope to have it here for the next couple of weeks to help us during the 4th of July and Boeing Thunder and things of that nature. If anybody's interested in going for a ride in it or testing it out, let me know. At the end of this week, the regular summer tax bills and newsletters will be mailed out. And over the last few days, many of us had the opportunity to bid our farewells to Bunny Garlock, who passed away recently. She's been a very active part of our community for many, many years, and with her husband, who worked here prior in years gone by with the city, she has some really strong ties here. But she's worked on projects like we've been very active on projects such as the 4th of July Committee, the Community Picnic, Community Christmas Baskets, and lots more. I'm sure our thoughts and prayers are with her and all her friends and family. And although I trust she will enjoy her new view looking down on the upcoming fireworks, she'll be missed here in Boyne City. And it's hard to believe that it's already the time for the 4th of July, that we'll be having that between now and our next meeting. And I hope everybody here has a good one with their friends and family. If you have any questions on these or other items, please I'd be glad to try and address them.
Commissioners, do you have any questions for our city manager?
No, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
I'm good.
Okay, also, you can Hold on. Reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have our monthly financial statement here. Does anyone have a question in regards to it? Okay. Cindy, has pronounced the solvent? So, get that VGA cable to work?
We'll find out.
Do those typically go bad, a VGA cable?
No. There's sometimes it gets a little quirky. You get a glitch between the computer and the... And that.
Yeah.
So. That happened earlier. That doesn't feel like that's a problem at this point.
Okay.
We'll just muddle through the best we can.
Okay. We'll move on to unfinished business. First item today is the Kirtland update. And Scott, we can bring it.
Thank you, Mayor. We are still waiting on the sound analysis from Eddie Duncan at RSG. I believe he's on schedule to get something back to us by the end of this week. And at that time, when we get that report, we'll begin the efforts to schedule the review of the report with him, with the commission, and getting that scheduled. So as soon as I get something, I'll let the commission know, and we'll begin that.
Thank you, Scott. Tom, would you care to ask the commission, or do you have anything to add to
it? No, I'm just here to answer any questions.
Okay. Could you update us on your operation schedule?
We're intending on running from 6 in the morning to 11 at night, 5 days a week. We were intending to do that this week, but we had a motor burnout on us. We had it overnighted, and it's being put back in today, and then we'll start up tomorrow.
Okay. Will you be running on the 4th?
Don't know that yet. We had intended not to run next week at all because the 4th is on Wednesday. But losing 2 days, I have to take a look at what that means and see what we're going to have to do for the 4th.
So the dates and times that you're running, you notify Scott or our city manager when you're... Do we have any department heads that, or staff members that wish to make a comment? Okay. Do we have any citizens' comments in regards to Kirtland products today? Okay, at this time, do we have any discussion from our commissioners? Laura, would you care to start?
Just a quick question for you or a thought. Being 4th of July week and with so many out-of-town visitors, it might not be really good to be running on the 4th just because of that. Whole visible kind of thing when they're coming into town. So I'm going to maybe ask if you don't, it depends, I suppose, on where you're at, but how many orders do you have right now that you need to fill, and how much product, how much time does it take to produce the product you need?
Well, I had intended on not running, like I said, the week before.
Right. Uh-huh.
The fact that I've lost 2 days of production, I have to take a look at. The balance of this week, how well we do from an efficiency standpoint, and what my orders are, and mm-hmm. see whether or not I can get away with not running.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably be appreciated by a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. Darren?
Not at this time.
Jane?
No, you answered my question.
Tom? Okay, thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom. Next item today is fireworks discussion on recent updates to the state of Michigan fireworks law.
Douglas.
Get over to the big top.
It's not until later, though. Tonight.
My short-term memory is leaking. Okay, let's start over. Hey, that's a nice picture. Okay. New business, item A, Douglas Street Storm Sewer Engineering Services. Consideration to approve the contract with C2AE for design engineering services in the amount of $34,095 and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents. Okay, Andy?
Thank you, Mayor. You should have a copy of my memo in front of you in the attachments to the proposal from C2AE to conduct this work. As it currently stands on the south end of Douglas Street, close to Cedar and Division Streets, we have some small pipe in the ground that's being fed from farther up the hill, obviously as gravity goes, heading toward the lake, by larger pipe. During most situations, rainstorms, it's not a major issue. However, when we get some of the very, very heavy rainstorms, that bottleneck causes some pretty bad issues. We've had the manholes, the manholes on the storm system actually floating on water a number of times during super heavy flows. This is a situation we need to get rectified, and I think by doing this, we'll also end up with a couple other positives out of this. Water, wastewater has some issues up there with some of their pipe, and they'd like to get fixed at the same time. And we're also getting up to the new concrete curb and gutter section of roadway, new asphalt paving on that. I guess if you have any other questions, I'll try to answer.
Andy, could you indicate on behalf of the commissioners where we're talking about what we're looking at? The colors aren't showing up quite as well, so I'm going to get the darkness a bit. It's getting better.
Okay. Right here from, this is Cedar Street right here, and this is Division, and this is Douglas going up the hill. Currently, we've got a 24-inch piping in here that brings in water from all this area down in here.
Which is Division, Division?
This is Division Street right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, we've had some flooding issues up here on Division, especially in this location as the system backs up and can't take the water. So, we've got a lot of big pipe in the ground, 30 inch up to here, and it drops down to a 15, then to a 12. Also, what is really not helping the situation, Andy, right here, at Cedar Street, instead of running the pipe straight down to intercept the 36 inch here on, mm-hmm. on Pleasant, they made a sharp turn. Mm-hmm. And, you really put a major bottleneck, the water kind of deadheads in that manhole and builds mm-hmm. back pressure back up the system. And once the pipe can't store anymore, it's got to go someplace it can't go out, so it comes out through the manholes. So we propose to change that to make that go straight through, mm-hmm. increase that pipe size to a 36-inch, mm-hmm. and that will also give us room for expansion of the system up on the south end of town also.
Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
The commission may recall that this was a project we talked about earlier, I believe during the budget review process, that we set money aside for this engineering, especially after the last downpour that we had a little over a week ago. It really became evident that we needed to move this forward. We do have a resident here that directly impacted with the situation, has been flooded out a couple times at his house. So there's some urgency to try and get this moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So when this is completed, what would be the timelines as far as the actual construction?
This year we have budgeted for the engineering work on it. We hope to get the project bid and then tie it in with the construction in the spring and with the new budget as well, too. We don't have funds budgeted currently for this for this work. It would be part of next year's capital improvement process, but we can get this engineering work done, we can go out for bids, we'll know exactly what the numbers are that we're talking about when we're going through the budget cycle and have it ready to go for next year.
Thank you.
Next spring, actually.
Do we have any staff members or department heads that have comments in regards to this issue? Citizens' comments.
I do, sir.
Yes. Could you state your name, sir, and where your address for us?
My name is Jerry Craigenbrink. I live at 127 West Division Street, which is right there.
Mm-hmm. Right. 127 West Division. Okay.
I've been there for almost 9 years, and I've been flooded out either in the garage or my lower mechanical room 5 times. So it became an issue right off the bat, and it only happened during the severe rainfalls. Mm-hmm. So I was very adamant about being in the meetings of Division Street Construction, and I want to thank you for all for doing that, but in my wife's opinion, it's an abject failure. I made sure that we, and I'd really like you all to take a look at the pictures of before, what it's supposed to look like, and then after. But I really would urge you to get this project going, because it continues to be a real thorn in our side. And I've spoken to Mike and Andy many times, and Barb. And I hope it's blatantly obvious that if that pipe is reducing to that and then getting to that corner, and if it's popping, I never take the time to go travel anywhere else because I have such a problem in my house. But if that's the resolve to make this a successful Division Street, then it needs to be done. I wish it would be done this year, because I guarantee you guys drive by our house in a severe rainfall within probably 45 minutes. It's in our garage. And so I tried to make sure that during the engineering that this was addressed. They shaved down this hill in the construction, and which helped. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it starts to back up, which I can never figure out why, but we have a catch on right in front of our house on both sides of the street, and you can tell those fill up. And then I demanded a manhole put in our driveway, and that catches all of our surface water and works just fine. But when it backs up to that point, then those two catches completely flood out, and the water almost touches to the yellow lines. Mm-hmm. And it just goes nowhere, and it takes, like this last rainfall, that was about close to an hour's worth of rain, but it was more like half an hour, and the water was bubbling out of our manhole and coming in the garage. Mm-hmm. So it's a real problem, and I hope that's the solution. I don't know if there's any guarantee, but to me, the engineering or whatever is just, I hope that's it. But I'm just here to voice this and show you directly the results. And we're talking 8 inches of water in our driveway. And even if my yard is up further, if those plug up, it's still going to come in. But I mean, I do have an issue that I wish, I hope to continue to invest in my home. But it's really disheartening. Mm-hmm. So, I hope there would be no delay whatsoever. And like I said, I wish it could be done this year. But I don't know how things go. But I've been patient through the whole process. And we've had damage. And I don't have flood insurance, So, yeah, the first time it happened, it blew out the panel on my furnace. We were able to get that repaired, but I think I made my point.
This picture here, is that a basement or a crawl space, or is it on the same
level? It's a basement, but it's a partial mm-hmm. crawl. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that, mm-hmm. our home is an older home, and the foundation doesn't go very deep, mm-hmm. but it comes in so deep there that the pressure builds up mm-hmm. that it comes in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a couple ideas that I can do to try to combat that with an additional concrete slab, but it's still going to flood mm-hmm. the entire yard. Mm-hmm. So, and we, to try to get things forward. We call 911 when it's there, and then by the time you get there, yep, as you can see, the car was parked right at the edge of the water, and then they'll go to town and tell Mike or whoever, and then by the time someone comes up there, within a half an hour, that water will be gone. Mm-hmm. You can just see it start to move out. Mm-hmm. But it's just a real. People drive by and say, "Man, I saw your lake." Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I was out there during the last storms and drove by that and a number of other sites around town, and I confirm everything he says. When I saw this last Monday was not this last Monday, but the Monday before when we had the big storm, mm-hmm. The police were already up there. I was on the phone with Andy. He was sending a crew up there, and by that time the drains had caught up and it was dry and our guy couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know the address off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. So we firmly believe that after talking with this through with our engineers, that this is the long-term solution to get the capacity in the storm sewer system that it has. Mm-hmm. We believe there's plenty of storm pipe capacity up on Division Street, in his yard, all that type of stuff. It's just that it all starts backing up on that bottleneck we've got in the system. Mm-hmm. It's something we've known we had to address.
The next storm I see, I'm just going to go ahead and jump in the truck and go look at these other streets to see myself. You don't correlate when you're 2-3 blocks above that point that it can be way down there to be a problem. I just hope there's no more chemicals this summer. For sure, you all know that we all get at least one of them this morning like that, and then the other ones just barely miss us. So if there was anything greater than that, it'd be really, really bad for us.
Has any of this water mixed with our waste treatment system?
No.
That's all
we do not have any combined sewers.
The final exit comes out right along the peninsula. That's the
correct.
Marina.
Yes. Now, as I've mentioned earlier, we have a very tight sanitary sewer system. We get very little infiltration. Sometimes, if there's water standing above the catch basin or something like that, or manholes where they've got some air in or something like that, we might get a little bit of water in there, but we have very little. Not like some of the other communities like Grand Rapids or some of these places that have the combined sewer overflows. We don't have anything like that. So, and even if that was the case, if we did, when the lagoon system, it all would go in the lagoons and then we'd go through the complete treatment process before it's ever released anywhere. So there's no issue like that at all.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have any other citizens' comments in regards to this stormwater issue? Okay, commissioners, Tom, would you like to start? Do you have any questions?
Well, if this indeed is the engineering that would solve this problem and solve all of our problems, then I would say that we should go forward with the process.
Okay.
Thanks for the pictures. I'm in full support of this project. Service definitely needs to be updated.
Darren?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Andy, quick question. Gentleman that brought forth this experience in this backup, farther down where the pipe is actually narrowed, are there other residences that experience the same problem, or are there no manhole covers down there to or storm drains?
At the corner, the southeast corner of Cedar and Douglas, the gentleman there has been flooded out a couple times also.
Okay.
And we continually tried to help him up by building that curb up a little bit higher until we could get this project to happen.
Okay.
Just to try and direct the flow, keep the flow directed into the road so it would stay, keep going down the road so it's running over the top of his little burn type thing.
Okay. Listen to the gentleman indicate that it's gone within half an hour till, not an engineer, but it sounds like it's really, really close to handling it right now. So this expansion of the pipe diameter would almost assuredly fix the drainage issue, prevent any backups.
Yeah, Yeah, I feel if we, you know, just increasing it to 24-inch, which would match the size above that, mm-hmm. we would probably never have a situation like that happen again. However, by going to the 30-inch, we're allowing us extra expansion of the system farther up the line, and which we will need to do at some point in the future.
Okay. Plus getting rid of that 90-degree turn there.
That would be a big help.
Were you involved in that project?
No. Okay. That was long before I came to the city.
Just asking, okay. Yes, Dan.
Derek, I'd just like to caution a little bit on okay. that. There's a bottleneck in the stormwater system going down the hill, but the area that was shown there is fairly flat area up on Division Street. We get a heavy rain where you get 2 inches of water in less than an hour. It's going to back up no matter what we do with the pipes below for a short period until the catch basins catch up. Right now, it's got no place to go because there's a bottleneck below.
Okay, so you're not as confident that this will solve it?
I'm confident that it is going to improve the situation. With a heavy rainstorm like we have had, you get a 100-year storm, mm-hmm. there aren't enough catch basins to carry it all the way right away.
Was that engineered into when they redid Division?
It should carry the load for every storm we normally have. And getting rid of the bottlenecks below it is going to alleviate the problem.
Okay.
But we have floods downtown and every place else when we get a heavy storm. It takes a couple of minutes for the catch basins to catch up.
This definitely will be an improvement, though, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, that's all I have.
Laura?
Yeah, a couple of questions. Is this the only bottleneck on Douglas Street, or are other streets around that area also bottlenecked the same way coming down?
To my knowledge, this is the only one that's in this area.
Okay, so like a street over is not a similar situation then?
No, not that I know. So I still need to go through the rest of town and see if I can find anything like that where it's happened again on our mapping, but I just haven't had time to get to it.
Okay, because I think that might be important going forward. There might be another street parallel with Douglas that's also got a similar problem, so maybe we need to look at all of it.
To my knowledge, there's been no other problems in that area at this point.
Okay. And then how far up above your home does it flood? Or are you the last house that floods at that end?
My knowledge,
you know?
I'm the only one.
Okay, so there's no one up like above you where the water is also flooding them out. I was just curious to see. And you said something about you don't have flood insurance. Can you get flood insurance? Or will they not?
You need it.
I know, but...
Why should I have to pay for that? Or even... I mean, that's our next step.
I'm just saying that.
To go talk to the insurance company.
Yeah.
And then what? Do they come after the city for, you know, being in a spot where it's not official flood zone?
Okay, it's not an official flood zone, so, okay.
So, if it hasn't been declared, I'm a little concerned that, you're not going to get the normal. Maybe you have to spend the policy.
I was just curious.
If it was really... Mm-hmm. any worse than what we just had, mm-hmm. I'll lose my entire mechanical limit.
Right. Is there anything, Andy, that, you said we built up a curb down on the corner of Douglas and Cedar for the gentleman there that was having some problems to help alleviate that? Is there anything that we can do short term to alleviate this a little bit for him or not?
I think part of the issue is just that general terrain right there. It's relatively flat, but he's kind of in a bit of a bowl right there. So extra water is not, it's not just coming from his property. Unfortunately, neighbors around him, some of that water's kind of going
So it's seeping down and coming horizontal underground probably?
Well, it's running on the surface. When you get a heavy storm like that, the water goes where the water goes. It's going to follow the contours. Other than, having a pump for him on standby, but it's just going to kind of recirculate. If you try to pump it down the road, it's just going to keep coming back up through the other pump or through the catch basin.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if there was anything we could do to help alleviate that. Okay.
We did have some discussions with regards to that, and we're open to those suggestions as well, too. Long term, we think this is the long term solution for
the
issue.
But I thought in the meantime, before we can get it fixed, just
and
something
we're open to
temporary.
That. If we come up with some ideas with the property owner. Okay. Might work and not leave a long-term negative impact for his yard.
Right.
Because we talked just the other day about raising something up or putting a berm or something like that.
Right, that's what I was wondering, yeah.
Every day that it's not a storm, it's just one more hump you have to drive over to get in and out. But we're open to all that type of stuff, too. In fact, I'd also comment, too, with regards to Laura's questions on the other drains in the area. Again, we have a number of lines that tie into this line that discharges at the marina. But most of them are short-term lines that aren't capturing as much of a large area. Coming down here, I don't know which street that is. That
Pleasant.
That Pleasant. Yeah. Here on Pleasant Street, this is a short area that catches a lot of water coming down this hill. We have a number of catch basins here, but that shortly ties into the larger size pipe here as well.
Okay.
Again, we have another short section here, which is parallel to Douglas. But again, that only runs a short session, has limited input into it before it goes into the much larger pipe. We have other smaller segments that tie in, again, much more directly to the larger pipes, too. This one here, with this bottleneck that we have here, this feeds basically everything going east and west on Division Street from Lake Street up until you hit this point, which is just a little bit west of his house. So, again, taking care of that should, we're thinking, is really going to minimize any problems that we have out there.
So this fix has to go all the way to Front Street?
No, it'll stop at Pleasant.
From Lincoln down to Pleasant.
Right.
Oh, I see it right there.
Right there. That's
okay.
Was that Elm Street or that?
Yeah,
Terrace?
Yeah.
Elm.
So we'll be coming instead of making the sharp turn here to hit Pleasant. We'll go straight and at that location. It'll tie into the existing large pipe that we already have.
Okay, that's coated in a green color because it is larger.
That is correct. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Further discussion?
Just one thing. I guess if we authorize this today, then that means that we won't be able to do the project until next year sometime.
Well, I'll talk to Larry about that, too, and get some additional information about that as well. We anticipate that this will be a $250,000 project, is what we're looking at right now.
Okay.
So we have funds to not only do the engineering, but also to do it as well. But we're sensitive. We would like to resolve this issue as soon as possible.
Okay.
But this is the first step we have to go through to be able to get that resolution. Okay.
That particular area, the West Division Street, that starts at the stoplight, is that correct? That's where the four-way stop is.
There's a four-way stop. There's no light there.
Right,
yes.
No light. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's no curbing there currently or anything or any berms like you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about this intersection right here, Ron, at Pleasant and Division?
That's where it starts, right?
Well, when you say it starts, right. I mean, there's a separate storm sewer line that goes directly north at that location. So that's kind of on a separate stub. Because of the grades between here and here, it wasn't possible to connect in this way.
Okay.
There is curb and gutter from this intersection. I think I believe there's radiuses on all four quadrants at that location. There
going
is a complete curb going east at that location. There is no curb going west at this location.
Mm-hmm.
This road is going to be a future project somewhere down the line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about funding. You know how much it would cost to put a a temporary tip up in it. We're going to have a paving company in here in a few weeks. I don't know how much that would alleviate. Like you said, it was a bowl type situation. You got a lot of water runoff from the other lots then too that contribute to this problem. Just a question, whether that's feasible or not.
I don't believe so.
Okay. Of course, I guess you've talked about it before, as far as temporary fixes.
Right.
Well, we gotta get moving on this project, so I'll call for a motion.
I'll move to approve the contract with C2AE for design engineering services in an amount of $34,095. Authorize the city manager to sign the required documents.
A second.
Okay, roll call.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Next item is the fireworks discussion. Recent updates to the state of Michigan fireworks law. Scott, are you handling that, or is Chief handling it? I guess.
Craig, they're an in-house expert on the matter.
In-house expert, okay. And this is a discussion. This is doesn't call for a motion.
Memo I gave from
along
with copies of what the first one is, our current ordinance, which is mostly outdated. I made some changes to that that might be applicable if the commission wanted to keep fireworks legal year-round in the city limits, as the state law now allows. The other ordinance I included is a proposed ordinance that Petoskey is looking at, which would make them illegal except for on the specified dates in the state law. The state law does not allow local municipalities to regulate fireworks the day before, the day of, the day after federal holidays. So we wouldn't be able to regulate those at all. Petoskey's proposed ordinance makes them illegal throughout the year except for those days. And this is the consumer fireworks, the new ones that are now legal, bang, throughout the year, those types. What we are looking for, staff needs direction from the commission on how they want to proceed on that. If the citizens, the commission, wish to regulate them more or allow them to be legal in the city. I did have a short discussion with the city attorney about our current ordinance. Portions of it will still apply, he believes. We can still use, prohibits them from being fired from midnight till 7 a.m., except for those 3 days outlined by the state law now. So that we will use around the holiday if necessary if people are shooting them off after midnight. Prior to the 3-day window there, we can enforce that if we have to. But the whole ordinance, a lot of the ordinance, as I said, is outdated simply because the state law that it refers to no longer exists. The red, white, and blue copy I gave you is the current ordinance. The red is what's in there now that I think has to go. The blue is my suggestion for what to replace it. A lot of that is just cut and paste right out of the state law. And then as far as the regulation, that's open for discussion too and direction from the commission and times of allowing it if we're going to allow it year-round.
Okay.
Commissioner Gaylor brought some of these issues to the table, so we did some additional checking with regards to concerns, because he was noting that some of the sections in our ordinance referred to sections that basically are dead in the state statute, don't exist anymore. So that's why one of the reasons we're bringing it to you. We also wanted to bring this to you today, before the 4th of July, so we can kind of, you can kind of monitor and get some feedback for what happens this 4th of July, as we start to anticipate with what we want to do in the future with regards to it, to see, you know, how much of a problem is it, or how much regulation do you feel would be appropriate with regards to it. I put the sign up on the door, basically because that basically says, you know, it's illegal to shoot fireworks off on city property. That's still the case. No matter what the state law says, or we still have the ability to regulate what happens on our property, as any property owner does. Just because fireworks are now legal by class, that basically gives people permission to do what they want on their property. But school property, other private or public or private property, people can set the rules on. So those are the signs that we've used for years. They seem to be, from what we can read on it, seem to be still totally functional with regards to it. But I think we're probably going to see a lot more fireworks out this year. People having their own displays and things of that nature. And I think this will be a good opportunity for us to kind of get a sense for what's going on there, get some feedback from the community as to how much regulation, if any, they want to have on this subject. So we're thinking of bringing it back probably on the commission meeting on the 10th, while this is all still fresh in our minds, and have a little further discussion and give some direction to staff, and we can work it out and see what changes we want to go with.
Thank you, Mayor. Craig, anything additional?
As Mike alluded to, I guess, the current state law does prohibit use on public property, school property, church property, private property without the owner's consent.
Thank you.
Any questions I can answer?
Okay. department heads or staff members, any additional comment? Citizens' comments in regards to the fireworks discussion. Jim?
Jim Bauman, 1119 West Street. I'm speaking as a citizen, not in any way related to my employer. Ever since that state law was passed, I think citizens see it as a green light to do fireworks, you know, in any way they want to. I think it's terrible. I mean, I think we should do what state law allows us, similar to what Petoskey's doing, limit it to holidays. I've been hearing it, you know, at least every other night, sometimes till midnight. And it's you know, we've got a peaceful, charming small town here. If we're going to hear fireworks 100 days a year, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. So I urge you to you know, do what the state law allows you to do. Mm-hmm. We've gotten along, I think, with that sort of thing for years. That's even more than we've allowed in the past. And, you know, I think that's a good compromise. But mm-hmm. I think it really, you know, it really is disturbing to mm-hmm. my neighborhood. It seems like it's coming from Ann Street or a little further below, kind of mm-hmm. you know, in the Avalanche neighborhood. And I would just urge you to mm-hmm. keep it to national holidays. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do we have any other citizens wish to make a comment? Okay, we'll move to board discussion. Derek, would you like to start?
Mike Kane mentioned, I had brought a question with the fact that our current ordinance did refer to the law that no longer applies has been repealed. So I like what Craig did here and forwarding and as far as matching that, again, I like to come back on the 10th and follow that up. I think there may be some room for some slight restraint, but I think sometimes we can be overregulated. So we'll monitor that and see how it goes and discuss it at the next meeting.
Thank you. Tom?
I'm just worried that we're going down a slippery slope if we try to be more restrictive than the state law. So, but with regards to that, I would refer to Craig and Mike and listen to their opinions. So, yeah, I'm kind of undecided on this, or actually not, maybe not undecided, but not up to speed on what I need to know to make recommendations. So I think the waiting observation would make sense for me.
Jane? Yeah, I've read over the ordinance here. I'm good with Craig's suggestions right now. Like Tom said, I'd like to see what's going to happen and come back to 10th.
Laura?
Well, I've done a little bit of reading and looking up this Act 256 of the fireworks law in Michigan, and the more I read it, the more questions I had. And specifically, it says, however, it says a local unit of government may enact an ordinance regulating the ignition, discharge, and use of consumer fireworks. However, an ordinance enacted under this subsection shall not regulate the use of consumer fireworks on the day preceding, the day of, or the day after a national holiday. According to what I can find out on the research, what I noticed on ordinances that people are writing in other communities, they say federal holiday, they don't say national. So is there a difference between a national holiday and a federal holiday? And guess what? There is. A national holiday is something that the nation celebrates as a whole. Okay, a federal holiday is something that's designated by the U.S. government as a federal employee day off. Okay, if you take and take Petoskey's list of holidays that they're going to honor as federally a federal holiday, the mandate, according to the law, says national holiday. The only national holiday that we come close to having in this country is the 4th of July. It's one single holiday. It doesn't say the day before, the day of, or the day after all national holidays, or any national holiday. It says a national holiday. And a national holiday is something you celebrate, like I said, as a day of independence, a day of emancipation, a day of sainthood, or whatever you want to determine, but it's that one day. So it says, constitutionally, there are no national holidays in the United States, period. So this law is written, it says national holiday. They should have said federal holiday if they meant federal holiday, not national holiday. There's also legal holidays, there's religious holidays, and we have a whole mix. So which one do we have to honor? Is it just the national holiday that we all celebrate, the 4th of July? Is that the one that it's intended to mean, or does it intend to mean all of the holidays? Because if you want to look up all the national holidays that, quote, unquote, are national holidays, you have pages and pages. Every day of the year, there's a national holiday. There's a national sourdough bread day, national peanut butter and jelly day, national chocolate mousse day, national cordon bleu day, national raisin and spice fire day. I mean, you can go on and on and on. So that's kind of a very loose definition. But a strict definition of national holiday would be basically all we celebrate here in the United States is the 4th of July. So, are we only bound to the 4th of July? That's my question, I guess.
Is your comment that the state law is unclear?
The state law is very unclear. Because does it, or unless it wants to spell it out, but all of these communities are spelling out what they determine to be federal holidays that they're going to honor, and it doesn't even say federal, it says national. So, if you want to make a designation as a list, I suppose we could probably do that on our own ordinance. And we would not be in violation of the state law. That's just my promise. So we might want to look into that legally and see. We would not be violating the way the law is written if we just make it the 4th of July.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of those determinations are either going to be through a clarification of the state law by the legislature or through the courts.
Right.
Or yes.
For
yeah.
General
right.
Yeah.
But my feeling would be if we wanted to say we're going to regulate it, and then anyone who wants to have a celebration with fireworks outside of that day, they could come to City Commission and get a special request granted to hold fireworks in that way. If we wanted to go really strict.
Yeah. You could set up a permitting process.
Okay. So. It's just something to think about between now and the next time we bring it up.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.
I just have one question for Mike. A candidate for the chief of police job, was this one of the questions?
No.
So do we need any further discussion in regards to... So this is a discussion moment. It doesn't require a motion of any type, but the intention is to bring it back to the council.
And I would just encourage commissioners to be very observant and to talk to other folks with regards to it, too. Hopefully with it being in the media, we'll get some feedback that way as well.
Sure. I've had fireworks in my neighborhood going on, and I know it's partly due to Bonnie Garlock passing away.
Yes.
There's been, and, you know, Matt, I can live with that, I guess. But they've been going off up until last night, I think, till about 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I heard they were going rather late.
Yeah. And, you know,
and that's when it becomes, you know, once one person's freedom becomes a nuisance on somebody else or an impingement on their rights. And that's where you try and find the balance.
But, you know, if 10 people in the neighborhood are doing that on a regular basis, that becomes more of a nuisance to the community than that's my opinion.
Well, at this time, we're going to move on to new business, Boyne brush grinding. And Andy, would you do the summary for us, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Once again, we do have quite a large pile of brush at North Boyne Park. I'm estimating somewhere between 1,100 and 1,400 cubic yards of brush again, which is pretty much right in the same ballpark as where we were last year. I did make contact with the two people I've gotten bids for in the past, or from in the past on this project. Again, Zeller was not interested in putting a bid in at this time, and Northeast Trucking came in with the exact same price as they did for us last fall. So therefore, it's my recommendation that we go ahead and have them get it done for us.
Thank you. Staff members, or department head members, or Mike, Any additional input? Okay, well, citizens' comments. Okay, commissioners, Gene, would you like to start?
Sure. I was up there this morning, and I would say the pile is probably as big, if not bigger, than last year. And bid the same as it is, so I'm okay with it.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm looking forward to the day when we can have a zero-sum operation. That's what I'm looking for. So, until that day arrives, obviously we need to have it removed, and I'm in favor of the bid as presented.
Laura?
Actually, I'm good with it. I know we have to grind it up and get rid of it, so I don't have any problem with it.
Tom?
I agree.
Okay. One question. Andy, did they haul it away last year, or did they just...
they took away about 90%. They took about 90% of it away. There's some that gets, they find metal and stuff in it. They'll set some of that off the side. Maybe we'll not take that because they can't put it through their other operation to resale it.
Okay. So
there is some that doesn't go away. The pile seemed to be getting smaller, the excess chips, so people are starting to utilize that a little bit more. And we keep advertising that it's available for free to come and take. So.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I agree, too, that we should approve this, so I'll call for a motion.
I move the City Commission with the Northeast Trucking bid of $5,500 to grind the brush pile and haul away the chips at the North Shore Yards. Authorize the City Manager to sign the required documents.
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Next item of business is the lot division process. And Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. In 1998, the state passed the Land Division Act, and that act put in the process for municipal review and approval of land divisions prior to getting those registered at the county court. This was done to alleviate a problem of people splitting land and finding out after the fact that it didn't meet ordinance requirements or whatever. The act put in place, a number of divisions rights and also the municipal review of land divisions, but it didn't put in how that process should go or who should be the approving authority at the municipality, but it did put a timeline in that they need to be reviewed by 35 days. In 2001, the city passed its own land division ordinance, and in that it put a process that it has to go through a staff review, it has to go through planning commission review, and it has to go through the final approval by the city commission. The land division requirements are non-discretionary. It either meets the requirements of the ordinances and it have the division rights and it must be approved, or it doesn't and it has to be denied. So there's no discretion at any level to review these. And when I was looking at it, I thought, this really kind of an unnecessary process to bring it through two commission meetings for review. And as you know, generally these items are put on your consent agenda and hardly ever discussed. So. In an effort to streamline and make this, more user-friendly for the residents, we're suggesting that this be changed to allow administrative review and approval of land divisions. We won't change any of the substantive processes or requirements, but just the review process. So we're bringing it to you today to see if this is something that the commission would like us to pursue, and if so, we can recommend some changes. We talked about this at the Planning Commission. And they concurred that it'd probably be a better process if it was done administratively.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Department heads, anyone wish to make comments in regards to the ordinance? Citizens' comments. commissioners. Tom?
One question, Scott. When, in the past, we've had some irregular shapes and some controversial shapes that were going through lot splits. You would handle that administratively?
Correct. Those conditions of size and shape would not change. It would just be a review process. So, you know, if it's a regular shaped lot or flag lot or something that didn't meet our requirements, then it would be denied.
Okay. With everything that Scott said, I agree that this would streamline the process. It would save the landowner money. And it's just another step that we can help the citizens and help ourselves become more streamlined. I'm in favor of the changes recommended.
Okay.
And I went through the process just last year. I split in off a lot of my property to build a lot to build for my daughter, and yeah, it's expensive and time consuming and probably not necessary.
I guess my only question would be, for your comment, you said it's expensive and time-consuming. How much expense and how much time is it normally costing?
Well, what's the fee, Scott?
Today, the application fee is $250, and that is to cover the costs going through mm-hmm. two commission meetings. I would suggest if this ordinance is changed to the administrative process, you could lower that. Probably to about $100 is a typical lot division fee. And then the process, you know,
would
it's
take a lot less.
Yeah. It's at least 30 days now, sometimes, you know, 40.
Okay. And I guess my other question, maybe directed to you, would be are there any times where it wouldn't be advisable to streamline it through that way that you can think of? I mean, anything?
Given there's no discretion in the decision, it either meets the ordinance or it doesn't.
Okay.
So I can't see a scenario where it wouldn't be.
Okay. All right. That was my other question. I just thought, you know, let's say the, just for the sake of argument, that someone came to the Planning Commission and it was denied, would they have the right then to appeal to the Commission if they thought they were still on solid ground of something that's maybe...
They would have to find some kind of a factual error. They would appeal that to the Zoning Board of Appeals and say, for this reason it was denied, I have a division right left, or I have more lot than they thought they had, or whatever.
All right, so they could still bring it if say, they were denied.
Yeah, any decision made by the administration, anybody is appealable to the Zoning Board of Appeals. And they
Those are my questions.
Okay. Derek?
That was my question. The appellate process, I want to make sure that if we remove another oversight or another set of eyes in the process, that we are potentially putting the property owner in potential jeopardy if there's an issue of, you know, that's the end of the story and no appellate process. But with the ZBA in place, that is my question.
But I don't think the ZBA would be part of the process anymore, would it? Mm.
The ZB never, it was not a process.
If they were denied, if it's just up to Scott and they're denied and doesn't come before the commission for another review, I want to make sure that a property owner has the ability for someone to appeal to somebody.
That's what I
if that process is in place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we're removing steps. Mm-hmm. One hand, it's great, obviously. But if there's potentially putting somebody in a situation where decisions made that obviously they don't agree with based on their interpretation or their legal counsel.
And then
I want to make sure that this change proposed would not interfere with that.
And that is written out in the existing ordinance, that the ZBA appeal process.
Okay.
That would not change.
That's where I was confused.
Okay.
So we're just eliminating, bringing it to two meetings to change the ordinance for the process.
Two meetings? So it's going to go through the Planning
Commission? No, he meant two commission meetings.
No, it has to go to the Planning Commission and City Commission now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. This process would eliminate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, just thinking back about 13 or 14 years, whatever I've been on this commission, it seems like we've had a a couple issues come up that where a second set of eyes put a whole different perspective on things. But like you say, this new process, it either meets it, it's either up or down, yes or no. And they just handling it administratively, you know, we have very competent staff right now, but, you know, 10 or 20 years from now, I mean, it's this level of competency may not exist, or you know, whether it's going to cause us problems. So, but like I say, we do have the appellate process there too. So it's, I guess I'm, it would certainly streamline it. So I vote in favor of it. If there's any further discussion, if not, we'll call for a motion.
I agree with you, Ron. I agree the process should be administrated by the city staff.
Thank you, Gene. Excuse me for leaving you out. I'll call for a motion.
We're looking for either a motion or a formal motion that necessary, isn't really necessary, because basically what you're doing is providing input for the staff as to whether you right. want us to take it to the next step, which is prepare an ordinance amendment to come back to you. Unless I'm hearing something differently, it sounds like the consensus of the commission is to take that next step and bring it back to the commission for further consideration.
So we don't really need a motion.
If that assessment is correct, then I would say that's fine. If you want to make a motion to nail it down further, that's fine too.
I do have one further thought, though, or one further question.
Sure.
If we do change this, and let's say it's an operation the next 10 years, and we run into some snags, we can always bring it back and change it back, can't we? I mean,
certainly.
Not us, maybe in particular, as individuals, but a different commission could do that.
So. I would hope if the issue is that there wasn't the competency of the staff
right.
or something that nature can do, so someone's dealing with that issue.
Yeah,
that's right. That's true.
I'm hoping my mind isn't going to slip that quick.
Yeah.
Well, if you're planning on spending the next 10 years, I'm good with it.
He probably is.
So.
Okay.
I'll make, just to clarify, I'll make a motion that staff comes back to us with a recommendation to change as recommended under our ordinance.
Yeah. I'll second it.
Roll call.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Next item of new business is Business Park Road Improvements, discussion of recommended Business Park Road Improvements. Andy?
Thank you, Mayor. You guys should have a copy of my memo and a map that shows areas we're talking about. I think I'm trying to bring a big copy up on the screen now. There's quite a few areas in the Business Park, mostly the inside curve radiuses on Lexamar Drive that we have trouble with trucks running over off the edge of the pavement under the gravel shoulder. And, you know, we get some wet weather, those shoulders get a little loose and it starts pushing the gravel out of the radiuses. And, you know, we've got deteriorating road edges now because of that. As a way to rectify that situation, we were asked to contact the engineers to look at solutions to that. We talked about basically just kind of putting some taper outs and taper back ins.
All right, go ahead.
Just to widen the pavement in those curve radiuses. Also, we've got issues at the intersections of Mall Drive and Lexmar and Airview and Lexmar. Also, where the curve radiuses at the intersections are too small. It's recommended that we remove those intersections and reconstruct them with bigger curve radiuses and concrete curve at those locations to help stabilize trucks turning, there's a whole lot of different weight displacement there. And the concrete curb will also help extend the edge of the pavement there even longer. So, and also identified was a couple of another couple drainage issues during really, really heavy rains. The Precision Edge site, which is at the corner of Mall Drive and Lexmar, and the but it's now the Classic Instruments building. They've had some flooding issues there. It seemed the water from Precision Edge was not getting, you know, their system will hold what it will hold, but their overflow was ineffective, and it was actually kind of making the water go back the wrong direction. The recommendation is to put a cross culvert at the intersection of Mall and Lexmar to help alleviate their problem. When their system gets full, it will overflow into ours and run down Lexmar Drive to a stormwater outlet right there that goes down to the river. Farther down at Classic Instruments, there's some water. A little bit of water does come back down that hill and roll around and flood into their driveway and loading dock area. The plan is to put 2 6-inch cross culverts there underneath the road to get that water to drain back to the south into that ditch system on the opposite side. The reason we're going with 2 6-inch drain lines there, there's elevation issues that we can't overcome. And if we tried to, it would probably make the situation even worse. So we went with 2 smaller culverts so we can still get enough depth on them in the row to not have issues. Any other questions? I'll try to answer.
Thank you, Andy. Department heads or staff, any additional questions? Mike, anything?
This project will be fully funded through the LEFA expenditures. We've already budgeted for that. This is an informational item for the City Commission. No approvals are necessary. With the additional expansions that we've had in the Odessa Park, specifically the Precision Edge, we're finding that some of these drainage issues really need to be addressed. There's a lot of flat land out there, a lot of it that doesn't drain well. That there's different layers of soil that keeps it from just going sucking into sand or something like that. We have different lenses in there. Also, a lot of where those red curves are, the blue curves are shown up on the map. We've just had a lot of truck traffic going to Lexmar from the mall entrance that are running off the edges of the road. For an industrial road, those were kind of narrowly put in there. So we're trying to give them some additional space so we're not losing the edge of the road all the time. And this is it's a partial fix and some long-term band-aids, but we're not looking to rebuild the entire road at this point. It's still fairly fresh.
Thank you. And do we have any citizens' comments? Commission members, Laura, would you like to start?
I guess one quick question. You said something about when you first started off going toward the river, it's going to drain off toward the river?
Yeah, there's currently...
So the overflow is going to drain into the river? Is that how I understood it, or did I hear it wrong?
This area right here, behind the old Federal Screw building, mm-hmm. is a retention overflow area that has a outlet going out of it that runs across here
mm-hmm.
and down the hill, it flows freely out of the pipe down the hill to the river as a system overflow for this whole area actually.
So that's going directly.
But right here on this side of the road is a big structure in the ground, a concrete manhole. I believe it's about 7 or 8 feet in diameter.
Okay.
That has an open grate on top that was meant to originally pick up anything that was coming down here anyways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all we're doing at this point is adding, once they hit the max that they can keep on site, the overflow is coming across mm-hmm. this culvert, down this ditch, and into that structure to continue on as it would.
And does that go to the river then?
It comes out right about here. It comes out of the ground right about here
mm-hmm.
and flows down through that kind of gully area. So we've never seen that wash out or anything like that.
Okay, so it doesn't directly flow into the river.
No, it doesn't flow directly
okay.
into the river.
I wanted to make sure I understood you correctly on that.
It makes its way to the river.
Yeah, okay. All right. As far as I can understand everything, it looks like it's a fix that we need to do, but that was just my only question.
Derek?
Mike, you mentioned that these intersections were not really designed for appropriately, in your opinion, for industrial park. Who was the engineering firm on that project?
Wade Trim.
Wade Trim, okay.
Yeah, that was one of the last projects they did, and we've had a lot of issues with the industrial park. The phase two expansion was just basically everything from the Lexmark plant going to the east. We still have some issues sometimes with the lot divisions, and it's been a real mess that we're still dealing with cleaning up after.
Has there been consultation with large truck drivers or their companies
yes.
in the design?
Yes.
And they
yes.
said...
Yes, we've already met with all the... We've already had a preliminary project meeting with folks. We had a representative from Lexmark there, from Precision Edge. Actually, we held it at Precision Edge's new factory. Classic Instruments, Simtech. We invited everybody on down there, and they're all in favor of what's being proposed. We are also, I should mention, at the intersection of Lexmark and Mall, where it's kind of shown in that purple area, with that intersection, we're looking at possibly changing some of the stop sign or traffic control signage with regards to it. Because especially, we have a lot of traffic going north on Mall than just truck traffic going directly to the west, continuing towards Lexmark and vice versa. And we may change the sign alignments to basically eliminate a stop there and let traffic
yield
go through there.
Or something. Yeah.
Correctly, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're still working on that. We're trying to improve traffic flow and make it a little bit more user-friendly.
Well, not only for the existing business there, but for future business come in. That's
exactly.
Okay. That's all I have.
Jane?
No, Mike answered my question. I'm good with it.
Change them all set with it too, and again, this is an informational item at this point. So, thank you, Andy. Next item on the new business is the John Deere 524K loader purchase. Consideration to approve to purchase a John Deere 524K loader from AIS Equipment in the amount of $100,738.90, including the trade-in, and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents. Andy, will you do the summary for us, please?
Yes, I will, Mayor. Thank you very much. As we've talked about during the budget sessions, our current John Deere loader, the 544H, which is a 2003 model year, is starting to have some issues, and they just seem to be multiplying. We've got some more issues now with the radiator neck that's starting to seep on it right now. We're going to either hopefully make it last until we do something different or replace it, and that's going to probably gonna be another $25,000 to $3,000 on top of the pins and bushings that it currently needs. Look at a couple different machines to try and come close to or equal to what we have now. The 524K is just a slightly smaller machine. It's a bucket. Carries about a cubic or a quarter yard less than what we carry now, so it's 2.75 versus a 3. As far as power goes, for lifting and breakout forces, those all seem to be comparable or almost exactly the same. It's a much more efficient unit. I think the deal that we get through the state purchase, the discount we receive on that is quite favorable. That works out to about 45% discount, or maybe slightly higher. But I think it's time to go ahead and replace it. There's been some talk of other pieces of equipment that we might be able to use. But again, as you see in my memorandum, that I think that would just give us a whole lot of duplicity in what we already have and what we can do. And that I don't personally feel that would be the right piece of equipment for us to use at other locations throughout town, as far as mobility, power, and the ability to do the job we need to do. So if there's any other questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. Also, Dan Novak from AIS Equipment is here. He's quite knowledgeable on equipment of all types. So if there's any questions he could help you with also, I'm sure he'd be happy to.
Thank you, Andy. Dan, do you wish to address the commission?
Well, I should introduce myself. Dan Novak. I'm with AIS Construction Equipment, and I am the municipal specialist for Northern Michigan. So I take care of the municipalities, US 10 North. That gives me a little oversight on what different municipalities, different cities do and how they do it. I think I would split it in two different areas. One, need to replace current unit. I don't look only on the usage of the unit, but the money, budgets, and all that stuff. And that unit has 11,000 hours on it, 10 years roughly. So if you look at the non, let's say that the depreciation of the machine, it is past 70, maybe 80% of its life. It becomes more of a liability to you. And I've been working with your DPW for 4 years, so I know it's an essential unit. So if you look at linear depreciation, you're at about $7 an hour, which was the cost over 10 years for you. And in the future, that unit might be good for a year or two or longer, but liability, what I'm talking about is mainly transmission can break, engine can break, and your cost will go up. Second part of that is what to replace it with. And I actually do welcome the discussion of a skid steer for you as a multi-tool that can do a lot of stuff. I have been working with few smaller and larger cities where they look into skid steer as a versatile tool, but it's always in respect to what you need to do with sidewalk and what you need to do with smaller confined areas. So if I look into what you have in your motor pool, you've got a trackless and you've got a holder, which are very versatile machines, and they're expensive. And what I've seen in the past to consolidate the budget better is the way to go is replace in the future when these are ready to be retired, maybe one of these units with a skid steer, which is much cheaper option with almost the same ability. That's how I would like to present it. And if there are any questions from commissioners, I will be happy to do my best to answer those.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Do we have any citizens' comments? Okay. Mike, do you have any?
Not at this point, no.
Okay. We'll move to the commission then. Gene, would you like to start?
Just one for Andy. When you looked at this piece of equipment, did you look at something maybe for removing snow on and bump out?
What we plan to do with that is, again, we're going to these neoprene-type blade for not only for our underbody plows, but we can also adapt them to fit on the loader buckets and on our one-ton truck plows. So it's the edge that goes on the blade. It's going to be a very stiff neoprene-type rubber. Got some very favorable information from the state of Colorado, who's been using it quite a bit. And a lot of municipalities out there have gone to that system. It seems to make a big difference.
Well, thanks. That's all I got.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Oh, let's see, where do I start? Andy, referring to your memo, you'd indicated that you'd referenced the situation where there were a large number of trees down, and then in short order had to remove them for ambulance and stuff like that. I'm surmising you presented that in favor of the loader versus like a skid steer type device. Has anything, or has a commissioner or anybody said to you that we wouldn't use the existing loader in that emergency situation?
No.
If
no,
we were to buy another type of a piece of equipment.
I was just illustrating the point that that piece sure. of equipment also can move a large tree like that and push it off the road in a hurry. You know, our crews can't get there to always get them cut up as they fall down. Sure. We get a bunch of them falling at once. Mm-hmm. The loader can push them out of the way as the crew comes back around behind and starts cleaning up. A lot of the big trees that we have in this town that have come down, the skid steer probably would not do it. Mm-hmm. And it would take a long time to get it there because the skid steer moves slow.
Sure. Let me go back to my question and point again. Who said we wouldn't use the existing loader in that emergency situation? I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm going to refer to the expert on like a 75 or 80 horse skid steer. I believe that's got quite a bit of force to move large trees. But that point aside, in that scenario, if the equipment person was a skid steer with multi attachments and used the existing loader that we have right now, would we not still continue to use that for emergency situations?
Well,
or
I believe we would.
Okay. And then also you mentioned use it for snow, and obviously I believe I had presented in previous meeting that in the summer and spring, summer and fall, we'd keep it up in North Boyne. The winter, you're going to move it back down to the city garage area for that purpose specifically, for large snow removal. And I'm just presenting things, looking at, we hear the words potential, may, possibly. And obviously, nobody here in this room can state when or if something on that current loader is going to go down. Obviously, we always prepare for contingencies. I'm thinking financially, if we can, through proper maintenance and application, get another 1 or even 2 years out of that device, we save a lot of money. You've indicated we have some equipment that does some of the things now for, brushing and let me see here. The snow blower and the mower and the brooms for the the small JCB backhoe and the Kubota mower. You know why we haven't been using those for the curbing and so forth?
Typically, when you're removing snow with a broom, it's got to be fairly dry to do a good job, or else it just compacts. The slush will compact at the curb. Okay. We haven't had those issues. Once we start taking snow off the sidewalks, it gets mixed in with the salt stuff that's already on the road. Mm-hmm. It starts slushing up, and the brooms will actually just take that, brush most of it off, but you still get that little layer that stays there and turns to ice very quickly. That's been what I've seen when we've tried to do it downtown with what we have right now.
Would that be because of the size and the design of the equipment that's attached to? Not as nimble and maneuverable as something?
Well, I mean, the JCB with the broom on it's fairly maneuverable. The little Kubota mower is even much more maneuverable. When we've got light, fluffy snow on the sidewalks, we tend to use that instead of the blower. So it's fairly maneuverable.
Okay, so you're saying there's no way to clean the snow off of the curb, put out in windrow, and have it blown up into a truck?
No, that's what we typically do.
Okay.
We do
so why did we spend $40,000 to prepare damage if we didn't need to get the plow blades right up next to the curb? I guess is my point.
I mean, again, I think trying these new plow blades is going to be a big help to it. We're not the only town who's had problems with curbs getting chewed up. It happens, unfortunately. It's an element of some of these bump out designs in the winter atmosphere.
Right, hence the recommendation of something smaller, more maneuverable, soft, but yet, stiff enough bristle to clean it, move it away, and put it on the roadway to do that. And again, that's just one of the many things that I'm going to refer to the expert from AIS on here in just a second. Attachments such as tree planting, I'm going to look back at the project that was quoted here. They quoted $500 a piece to move trees. It wouldn't take long to buy a $4,000 or $5,000 tree planter, or maybe a little bit more than that, but from the ones I looked at, to pay that off as well. And I understand. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, sir.
Dan.
Obviously, you'd like to sell a new mower.
Obviously, I'd like to sell you a skid steer.
Sure.
Do you
carry the Gale brand?
No, we carry John Deere.
Okay.
John Deere and JCB.
Okay. With a fully enclosed AC heater, 7580 horse skid steer, is that quite an out-of-capable device?
Oh, yes, it is. I stated at the beginning that we are not in disagreement how beneficial skid steer would be to your fleet.
Right.
We might be a little bit disagreement in if those are two same tools, because I see skid steer as very versatile and very beneficial to your fleet, but at the same time, it's kind of like you need shovel and rake to do a good job.
Sure.
And I see loader as a shovel. That is, you have one loader and it's essential unit to you. Skid steer, you mentioned you can keep the loader you have. And if that's what you are intending to do, then you will have both shovel and rake. My looking at the habits of replacement equipment, I see both ends. I see the end where some municipalities replace equipment 3, 4, 5 years old. I see that as a wasteful. because that unit does not reach its 50% lifetime. What I try to do is advise to 50% to 70% lifetime, depends how crucial on how irreplaceable that unit is. We have been really spending the last year with your DPW on trying to narrow down on the right machine. That's why we went a little bit smaller, because it will still do the job you need to. And that's why we try to save money. To credit to your manager, we didn't even put AC, which is very much standard right now in that unit, because he is very conscious about budget and money. So I see that there is no big disagreement between what we are trying to do is, I just believe that a 10 years old unit, and because it is installed, that unit is looking rough. Yes, you may keep it alive 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and AIS will be happy to service that machine for you and be a partner in that deal. I just believe that we are probably a year or two past the premium of the unit, and that's why I suggest that we shouldn't wait. But it's you that see all the picture. I see only my part, which is your fleet, and your ability to deliver what you need to do is make sure that you have your units in order, so you don't have to go and make a quick decision what to do in the middle of a winter storm when your loader is down.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, obviously nobody wants equipment to go down, you know, and again, it can happen anytime. It could be a two-year-old and something could happen. I mean, that, I don't think anybody would argue that nobody can predict exactly what's going to happen.
I like your way of thinking, if I may say, for the streets and for the sidewalks. You have right now two units, which is Holder and Trackless. Mm-hmm. Those are very, very handy units, and they are superb to anything out there, even to skid steer, but they're twice as much money.
Right.
When the time comes to replace these units, I think that the skid steer is very much viable operation tool that you should look into, because Holder is $100,000, a skid steer with attachments is $50,000. That's a big difference. But everything has positives and negatives. If you get real skid steers on your sidewalks, you will have disappointment from some scuffling and tire marks on sidewalks. It's just not, there is no perfect world. There's always finding the best way. And if you have a larger project for tree removal, there might be a way of renting and actually testing different machines to figure out what size is the best size for you guys. Because, as you know, there are small, medium, large, and there's quite a big difference in their abilities. Mm-hmm. So I guess the first and foremost for me, I would not compare it to these two pieces of equipment. No. And I do believe strongly that you are 1 or 2 years past the time when you should have replaced your loader.
Yeah, for the record, I'm not proposing or haven't proposed that the skid steer replaces the loader. Mm-hmm. Quite the contrary, I'm looking at the versatility of that, applying it for our main need was the money that we spent on fixing curbs. And then relegating the loader instead of summer, winter, and fall, or summer, spring, summer, and fall, to driving all over town. Where a skid steer could, you know, lift manhole covers, as you mentioned, Andy. I mean, that I see a lot of things in here mentioned that it could be utilized for. Mm-hmm. And then for an emergency situation, that can be brought into play for the winter, you know, for large snow removal. Absolutely. So, you know, looking to saving, you know, $50,000 to $60,000 right now. Parlay some of that, even if the worst case, the differentials go, the pin kit, and the radiator still don't equal the savings on that for over 2 to 3 years.
No, it doesn't. Right. I agree with you.
So that's where I'm coming from, trying to look at, not obviously I want our folks to have, you know, the most appropriate equipment available, but looking at it from a financial aspect as well.
And at the same time, your unit, the trading unit, has been appraised at $32,000.
And that will go
if
down.
Well, let's put it this way. If you maintain it well, it will slowly depreciate, which is not a big chunk. But if you put $15,000 in transmission, that unit will be still worth only $30,000. Mm-hmm. And if I just demonstrated that over a period of 10 years, you spend $7,000 linear dollars every year based on your good ownership practices, the maintenance, all of that, the transmission potential, and I don't try to scare you. I just know that at 11,000 hours, that is beyond the point where I feel safe.
And one more thing, Mr. Mayor, real quick. The other equipment you mentioned that a skid steer could potentially supplant or replace, I don't think we would have to wait for those to become disrepair or maybe those could be sold off and buy, one device. Instead of having multiple devices doing one thing, you have one device with multiple attachments doing everything that all these other devices are doing.
So I agree that could be done.
Okay.
And maybe one more point about depreciation and value of the machine. If you buy a skid steer, any skid steer, their life design is 5,000 to 8,000 hours. The price is $50,000. Loader, double the price, double design life. It is really in, they're not fighting each other. They're two different tools.
Absolutely. Dan, you had a question.
I concur with everything that's been said about these pieces of equipment. We've looked several times at whether to have a skid steer or, at that time, it was the holders or the trackless.
Right.
And the decision was made to go with the trackless as the green equipment, I guess, universal equipment. That can be revisited and replaced at any time. But the front-end loader is one of our primary pieces of equipment. Mm-hmm. We use that for a lot more than just snow. It's critical where we have it for water, sewer repairs, moving construction materials, doing other things. Mm-hmm. And keeping it longer, we've done that with backhoe, we're going to have to replace that. You lose not only the trade-in value, every year you postpone it, the sale value goes up on the equipment too. Mm-hmm. So the savings you might make on that piece of equipment aren't as high as you think. Mm-hmm. You're losing both on increased price and on lost trade-in value. Well, this is a primary piece of equipment. I do agree with Andy's recommendation and that it's purchased. And for other uses, stuff like the Bobcat, we redid the fountain on top of the ski hill today. It's up the mountain. I've got a manhole up there. I've got to bring down off that hill. I can't bring it down with the backhoe, and I can't bring it down with the skid steer. We need that size equipment.
And if I might add, that equipment gets utilized all over town for a variety of reasons, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we use it for emergency purposes. We use it for picking manholes up out of the ground on the small projects and stuff that we do, loading trucks in emergency situations with the water repair, At 2¾ to 3 yards, a bucket load is going to have a lot faster than a skid steer will. We can make quicker, efficient use of our time. But again, there's a lot of variables that can be looked at. I'm not against a skid steer by any means. I just don't want it to be a replacement for what we have because it doesn't function properly.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's indicated that. I sure have.
But I do also firmly believe that the loader is at the point now where it's past its useful life, both especially financially. I see it's past the point of really want to spend a whole lot more money on it. Mm-hmm. This is going to turn into a money pit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Jane?
10:30.
You got to go this way.
Excuse me.
That's all right. I guess my feeling is, after listening to the discussion, I've never been in favor of kind of sinking more money into a piece of old equipment because I think it's just kind of short-lived and it's always going to be something to repair on it is the feeling if it gets to that point of being useful. If we could get a, and I'm not familiar with equipment, but a skid steer sounds like a good way to, a good piece to have in our inventory down the road. If that could be added in, we could probably extend the life of a new loader far beyond what this one has. Would I not be wrong in saying that? And I'm also in agreement where right now it's worth about 32,000 credit, where another year down the road, there might be 10 other things go wrong with it or that are expensive, and then that just erodes that whole thing. So my feeling is that's probably at the point where we would need to replace it. That would be what I feel. I know it's a lot of money, but.
Thank you, Lori. Tom?
I appreciate the discussion initiated by you, Derek. I appreciate that because I've learned more than I knew about equipment. But I am in favor of the recommendation to purchase the loader.
I'm also in favor of replacing a piece of equipment with the proposal in front of us. I call for a motion. Is there any further discussion?
I'll move that the City Commission approve the purchase of the John Deere 524K loader from AIS equipment for the amount of $100,738.90 and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents.
A second.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Brunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Don't bring me up.
Okay. Our next item today on new business is the request of the city manager to go into closed session with our attorney regarding pending litigation provided in MCL 15.268E of the Michigan Open Meetings Act, Public Act 267 in 1976. However, before we go into closed session, we will go to item 10 that was on the agenda, good of the order. And Laura, would you like to start?
Yeah, I have one item, and maybe it's been around a little while, but I was just made aware of it this last week, is that our transit system runs on Saturdays now, and I wasn't aware of that, and I think that's a really neat thing. They also extended their regular hours on weekdays, and so that's really a nice benefit for our community. Be nice down the road if they could add Sundays even to that schedule sometime. So anyway, that was just nice news to know.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Recently I went to the farmer's market on Saturday, and I think I'd heard a comment by Hugh at a prior meeting that looks like it's kind of becoming a flea market type thing, non-food vendors. Is that the direction that we plan to keep going with this, or make it more for the fruits, vegetables, flowers, that type of thing?
I know there's been some discussion between the balance between food vendors and crafters and things of that nature. My understanding, and I'm a step away from that, is that they have not been adding too much in the way of crafters lately, that the food vendors have been going up. And I think their direction in the future is probably more on the food, less on the crafters. Whether they have, at some point, they break up into two different markets at some point, or whether there's always some type of a mix, I don't know. Ever since the Main Street Board got involved with the farmers market, and I think even before that, Ron, you probably could speak to when the senior center ran it, that's always been a source of tension in that. And the priority that I get from the farmers market committee that reports to the Main Street Board is that the top priority, and especially if we're starting to deal with limited space, is with regards to the food.
Sure.
So I don't think there is. I'd have to check with Hugh to see if there are more crafters than there were. I'm not sure if there were.
It just seemed to be a lot.
Yeah.
Proportionate. And I'm not against the craft. I mean, I think we have a fair amount of opportunity throughout the year and so forth. But
one of the things as they're ramping up right now, mm-hmm. more of the crafters may be showing up than all the food vendors. I'm not sure if all the food vendors are out yet. Mm-hmm. I know right. the total is somewhere around 70 to 73 vendors total. And again, my understanding, I can check with Hugh, he's off this week, but I can find out later, is the, you know, what the increases in both areas have been.
Well, he said last meet when I asked him that he had denied, they had denied a lot of the requests from the crafters this year, mm-hmm. that they had turned them down. So apparently they're not taking
them. It just seemed to be a lot.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Yeah,
okay.
Gene?
Yeah. I've had two citizens concerned about standing water. Maybe you already know about it. About standing water on the corner of Pine and East. It's on the sidewalk, and I went and looked at it, and if you cut across the corner in the grass, you're going to sink in over your shoes. It's pretty stagnant looking thing, water there. And it looks like they had put recently a new pole right in that area. So I don't know if that's...
Yeah, there's some... water issues. There's a area where water runs pretty close to the surface in that area. We've hit it a few times in some areas. Probably explain that area a little better than I. He's been in the ground there quite a few times. But yeah, we've noticed that, and we're kind of keeping an eye on it, trying to figure out what happened. But you're right, it seems to have correlated when they put that pole. Right. So they may have punctured that layer, and it's just coming back out and finding the way back to the surface right there. We don't think we have any leaks anywhere. Haven't been able to trace any leaks, so unless Dan could maybe offer a little more insight from that at this point.
It's the first I've heard of it. We can take a look at it. I'll have to have my crew take a look at it.
Okay.
I'll have
to be doing 50 years. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Just a question for Mike. Facilities still on the front burner?
Yeah, it's not. We've been making some progress on some internal mappings and drawings. We now have a 3D rendering of this building that we can work with as we're playing with different, working on different concepts and talking to different vendors with regards to it. The last couple weeks, since probably the last meeting on this, is my primary focus is on the police chief and bringing that to closure. Once that's done to closure, then the already high priority of the facilities will move up even higher.
And one more question. It's kind of regards to our equipment. We've gone quite a few months now without a sitting mechanic. How's that turning out?
We seem to be keeping up fairly well. There have been no really major problems that I'm aware of that have, you know, I think things are being kept up as well or in some respects even better with some of it. And ultimately, the thing we're going to have to take a look at is not only our ability to keep the equipment up, but also with regards to the overall cost.
Thank you.
I've got two items. I've had two complaints about the swim site at Lower Lake Street and the West Michigan. That area there is washed out, the beach. And a lot of kids use that on a daily basis when it's usable. It's a mess. And the other thing, one of the complaints is that, you know, you don't understand why there isn't some type of riprap around that pipe, you know, and rocks, you know, or some kind of structure so that's entering into the lake, you know, directly. And when is it going to get fixed?
Well, I was down there when we had our heavy-duty water event. I think I showed you some video of
that. Yeah, I saw the video of it, but the beach is a mess right now.
Yeah. I mean, because one of the things that I talked about with Andy shortly thereafter was, okay, what other permanent solution could we have out there that isn't going to get washed out or something of that nature? We haven't come up with that yet, so we're still investigating with regards to
if
that.
I could.
Yes.
Sue Bright, who is the local rep from the Army Corps of Engineers, is coming Thursday to meet with me to look at the site. You know, we've tried riprap a couple different times, a couple different ways, and having things like this, because of the sand, it just takes away. So she's going to help, and that's what she does. She goes around, she helps communities and individuals who are having issues come up with good remedies for the situation. So she'll be in town here, I believe she said, between 10 and 11 this coming Thursday. So hopefully we'll get something moving in the right direction.
Okay.
And that big front end loader backlight that and clean that up?
Well, again, until I speak with her, I'm afraid to go too close to the water and do any work right now. I mean, the way things have been going with regulation. And I've had a few residents call me, and I said, you know, until I get a go-ahead from the Army Corps, I'm not putting a piece of equipment down there. So that's a little bit more than beach grooming. And I've got a permit for that, but I don't want to push that envelope and get in some trouble.
It should be noted as well, too, that this year we came under basically dual jurisdiction of both. That the MDEQ had basically given us the sole permits for, like, the beach grooming and stuff in the past, that the Army Corps all of a sudden kind of chimed in and said, oh, you should be getting permits from us as well, too. Again, it goes to our Lake Charlevoix being at times considered an inland lake and other times being considered, you know, part of the Great Lakes system. So Andy's correct. I mean, I think we want to be real careful with regards to making sure that before we do any treatment on that stuff that we get the proper approval. So I'm glad to hear that they're coming in on Thursday.
The other item I have, there's still a mooring buoy at the Charlevoix lookout, probably 50 feet off of the eastern dock. And then we're talking about poles and pole replacement. Another item just registered too is the corner of Robinson and West Michigan. They put a new pole in there and they've never cleaned the mess up.
Is the old one still standing next to it?
Yeah.
See, that was
I had a comment about that a couple months ago, but I...
Was that Consumers Power?
I believe it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll call them again.
Well, anything else? Okay, before we go into closed session, we'll do the announcements. We don't have any other business to conduct, so we will be coming back here later after our closed session. The next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, July 10th at 7 p.m. City offices will be closed Wednesday, July 4th, in observance of Independence Day. And at this time, we'll call for a motion to go into closed session at 2:01 p.m.
Second.
We'll take a couple minutes in between.
Okay. Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.